One more time.
I love that song.
I am a child of God. How many children of God do we have in here? Raise your hand. Come on now. You know, that's a good thing. Welcome. Hey, just go. Just all the way. Tired of feeling alone, Robert. Y'all ready?
Yes.
All right. You know, we got sports. Play on the field, they have an out of bounds line. You play on a court, they got the out of bounds line. You play a little pickleball, they have the out of bounds line. Every sport you play, they may have an out of bounds for the most part. You're running a race, they have a lane. What do you say?
Boundaries.
Boundaries. Happens to be the title of my message. Boundaries. We have those. Boundaries. They put it up there, doggone it. Did you say it before it was up there?
Yes.
Okay, good job. You get a quarter. God wants us staying in those boundaries that he has set for us. It's where we're going to thrive. In our everyday life, it's where we're going to thrive. It's when we step out of those boundaries. We get out of play. He has those boundaries, those healthy boundaries. We need healthy boundaries in our lives. We need it in our family's life. You know, you hear the saying, well, everybody comes from a dysfunctional family. But here's the thing. Dysfunctional doesn't have to come from you, though. Because you were bought by the blood of the Lamb. All those insecurities that God has, I mean, he's wiped them out. He's given you his spirit that has love, joy, peace, patience, all those things, the gifts of the spirit operating on the inside of you. So when you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, it was deposited in you. Now it requires the words to bring it out. We got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But in that process, we set these healthy boundaries, and every once in a while, we may tend to get out of those boundaries, what have you. I said, but God wants us staying in those boundaries and having those boundaries. Now, why do we need boundaries? We all need boundaries. You can walk in love with everyone, but if you don't have clear set boundaries for your life, then that can get out of control for you and for those who are around you. And Psalm 119 says this, make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Your happiness is found. The psalmist is saying that his happiness was found by walking along the path of God's commands. I don't understand why I'm not happy. Are you walking along his path? Are you walking according to his plans? Are you operating within his boundaries? I guarantee you, he's not going to be happy. You're not going to be happy. Guarantee it. Why? Because God created you for him. When you know you are living based upon what God has commanded us to do, this is when we are at our best. This is when life seems to make sense. Sometimes when we're trying to get the best deal, I don't know if you work in business and sales and all that other stuff. You know it's a good deal when you both come up with a good deal. Not, ooh, I got one over that person. Something just doesn't sit right. Years ago when I used to do my barbecue, I had quoted somebody a price. And then later on that week, the price has shot up on the meat. So I was almost going to lose money. And so I tacked on $20 just so I can just kind of break even. Man, I tell you what, they didn't like it. And more importantly, he didn't like it. And then it wasn't sitting right with me. So what I had to do? I had to double up. Not only did I give him the 20 that I extra charged, I had to give him another 20. And repay. And I had to repent. Why? That wasn't right. It wasn't a good deal. Lord, I'm going to lose money. Who cares? This is what you quoted him. This is what you stand by. Since I didn't, I had to pay more. But you know what? He blessed me with another one. Catering for 500 people. When you make things right by listening to the Lord, when you're operating in those boundaries, he's going to bless you more so than ever before. You need boundaries in your life because it keeps you from evil. Now, it doesn't mean that evil won't try to go after you and get into your life, but if you shut those avenues off, it makes it difficult for the enemy to have his way with you. Living a holy life doesn't keep evil from testing you, but you are walking the pathway of life with God and being with him and following his commands. You will never lose. You'll never lose. Lord, I want to walk in all your ways, but you still can't stop manipulating people. I want to walk in all your ways, but you still can't stop doing these things. Lord, I want to stay in your boundaries, but you're still operating out of the lust of the flesh. That becomes difficult. I think we all been there at one point in time. Some might be frustrated because they are standing in the sidelines in the season of their life. And so people begin to take out their frustration on others. You know, you're seeing them. You're on the sideline. Now you're on the sideline because you chose to disqualify yourself for a little bit. Step out of bounds. You see somebody running. I'm going to trip you up. They got a touchdown. They got an open score. Pew! Sorry. God wants you operating within his limits, within his boundaries. It's going to be so much fruitful. Go ahead and lie on that person over there. No. He wants you telling the truth. He wants you speaking truth. He wants you speaking his word over their life. You know, bring a lot of drama to other people's lives. No. That's one of the most toxic things that people can do. You know, I never liked it when it comes to... And I've read it in a book and stuff like that where people think that they need to go through what you went through. Or you need to think that other people need to go through what you've been through in that sense. Like, well, if I had all these people come against me, well, then I'm going to do the exact same thing to this person here. Why? Because they need to learn a lesson. Wait a minute. They didn't say what I said to them. They didn't do what I had done to them. They were walking in their ways, and I decided to just put this on this person here just to make them go through the same stuff that I've been through. That's kind of one of the most toxic things that leaders can do. Now, I don't know of anybody who does that, but I'm just saying, well, you're going to have to go through something. Okay. Allow that to happen naturally. We're going to make mistakes. Allow that to happen naturally. You need to set clear boundaries, whether you like them or not. You want to know why life is frustrating for some people? Because they don't have boundaries. I heard this all the time over the years, but it's family. I said, people, you have to understand. Families sometimes will be the very ones to tear you down. What did God tell Abraham or Abram? Get up out your family. Lot, you go here. You go here. Sometimes there's got to be a separation in that family. Why? Because what God has for you is far greater than what he has for them. They're going a different direction. You're going a different direction. And then if you may meet up, awesome. If not, sometimes people don't like it. I don't want to leave my family. I was the last person that ever thought that I would go to Kansas, being from California. But I had coaches. Hey, you need to get out of here. God was speaking through them. You need to get out of here. You need to go as far away as possible. Not in the mean way, but because there was a different destiny for me. I don't know if I'd still be in the ministry or be in the ministry. And again, I thought I was running away from all that junk. Well, ministry ain't junk. You never know where God is taking you. So it's important to stay obedient to him and to what he's having you to say and do, because if you don't, you might wind up in a bad place. Abram, get out. Paul and Silas had to break up for a little bit. If you want to level up in your spiritual growth, the number one thing you do, stay obedient to God. You got to stay obedient. Whatever he tells you to do, live that out and walk it out as strong and as bold as you can. Whatever he tells you, according to his word, live it out. If it makes everybody else uncomfortable, live it out. If I have brothers telling me, hey, probably shouldn't be doing ministry anymore. Peace, and a bottle of hair grease with you. I won't listen to that. Sometimes I get brothers that try to preach to me. That's cool. But have you given your life to Jesus yet? Well, I'm still working on that. I love you. I'm still praying for them. Still praying for all of them. But I can't live the life that they want me to. I can't live the life that other people want me to. I got to live what God has given me to live. Amen. I've done the other stuff. I had fun as a sinner. I had fun as a disobedient child. I'm having a lot more fun now. Why? Because I'm doing what he's called me to do. That goes over well. See, when you set up boundaries in your life, people get upset, they get angry, they start plotting, they start talking, they try to find more ways to control you, keep you from your destiny. God is forgiving God, and all those who secretly hate it when you set boundaries in life have to do this. All they have to do is humble themselves and repent. All they have to do is just humble, humble, humble. They're going to get upset. You want to know how people are a friend of yours or an enemy of yours? Tell them no. That quick, tell them no. They're trying to get you to do something, tell them no. The Bible says hatred stirs up strife. When you're stirring up strife in people's lives, you're out of bounds. You're out of bounds. But love will cover a multitude of sins. Now you're in bounds. When you're doing that love walk, when you're walking in love, when you're striving, you're in bounds. You're playing within those boundaries. When you're operating in hatred, stirring up stuff and drama in people's lives, you're out of bounds. All the time. God, why is this hurt? It's frustrating. I don't understand it. Get in bounds. Get back and right back. Repent. Get back. Get in the game again. He's waiting for you to play. He's waiting for you. Why? This is where you're going to thrive. God wants you working within those boundaries because that's where you will thrive in life. So if you get out of bounds, Lord, forgive me for that. It's just that quick, just that simple. Jesus already provided for you. You got to set the boundaries. People, when you're dating, all you single people, when you're dating, set some clear boundaries. Why is the same guy coming into my life? I said, yeah, there's no boundaries. You gonna meet your husband at the bar? You're not going to find a desirable one, I guarantee you that. You got to set some boundaries. Guys, you got to set some boundaries. You're trying to date. Well, I can't find the right woman. Give it to God and allow him to bring somebody across your path. Write it down. Sometimes I think we don't get picky enough. Lord, I want somebody who's just submitted to you. Rather than, Lord, I want somebody who's going to do whatever it is I want them to do. If you have somebody who's submitted to God, they're going to treat you right. They're going to do right by you. Set some healthy boundaries when it comes to your friends. You partying all the time with your friends on a weekend. Notice something here. You have to get up and go to church. They're not. So you're sacrificing something. That time getting up. They're not. Set some healthy boundaries. My son's friends, when they spent the night, that was a rule kind of in our house. If you spend a night, you go to church in the morning. Some of them stop coming. They spend Friday night and then leave Saturday or what have you. But you got to set some boundaries. You can't change someone else, but other people will always try to change you and try to be sneaky about it. Why? They don't have any boundaries. They hate it. In Psalms 119, 133 says, "Guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil." Guide my steps by your word. When you start valuing other people's word more so than God's, it's going to be difficult to maintain the life that Jesus came to give us. God's word has to be first and foremost, not other people's word. My family's word is not over God's word. My wife's word is not over God's word. My kids' word is not over God's word. God's word is God's word. It's first and foremost. He exalts his word even above his own name. And we know his name is the name above all names. It's his word. Remember, Satan can't do anything to you unless you give him the reason to. He's the accuser of the brethren. Satan is always tattletelling on you. Always. Always going to God saying, he did this, he did this. What you got to say about Jesus? He's forgiven. But he's always trying to get in trouble. He needs legal entry into your life. So you give it to him by getting out of bounds. He can't touch you if you're on the field, if you're on the court. You're out of bounds, he can touch you all day long. See, most people who are playing the game, they don't really hear the people in the stands. But when you're on the sideline, you hear some of those parents, some of the fans. You can hear that. Why? Because you're not in the game. Because when you're in the game, you're focused. When you're on the sideline, you listen, man, they over here just rowdy. Your attention is off. You're distracted. And he loves nothing more than to distract us from what God has for us. You got to start blessing one another rather than cursing each other. Bless. You're going to have opportunities to bless people who curse you, who call you a liar. You're going to have an opportunity to do that. That's going to happen every time. Bless them. They don't like the way you're playing? Bless them. They don't like the way you're doing stuff? Bless them. You're on the same team if you're not running based on the vision that God has given you for you and your family. And if you're not doing that, if you're not doing what God has called us to do, you're always going to have unnecessary conflict within your homes. Why? Because somebody's out of bounds. Satan loves chaos. That's why you need boundaries, because it helps you to keep Jesus at the center of everything you do. God has given us boundaries to live by in Deuteronomy. I just caught it this morning, and I was like, I've been saying it wrong all these years because I was putting the M where the N should have been. 10:12, it says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. When we stay within the boundaries that God has given us, God's call on your life becomes a lot clearer. God requires obedience and a heart that is for him and him alone. The enemy don't play fair, so why should you stoop to his level? He don't ever play fair. He can't. That's why he has to deceive people. You are the righteousness of God, and there are higher standards that the body of Christ is to live by. Higher standard than what Satan operates on. There should be a difference from us in the world. See, we're not just here just to get a presentation and then that's it. See, people talk about the gospel. You just have to preach the gospel. No, no. You don't just preach it. You demonstrate it. And people have chosen not to do the demonstration part. You preach it. Jesus taught and he demonstrated. Paul talked about it. He shouldn't put the faith. His faith is not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He demonstrated it. So if people want to just stop away from demonstrating, that's on them. We're not going to do that. Because God doesn't require us to. What's the difference between a believer and unbeliever? I said it should be the power that's working in their life. Absolutely. How can you demonstrate that power when you're on the sideline? But I understand this. Bobby Knight had a quote. Y'all remember Bobby Knight? He has some pretty good quotes. Can I say one naughty one? No, it's fine. I won't say it all. He says, when my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want them to bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my donkey. But there's another one. He says, you can talk about all the motivational speeches and phrases and devices in the world, but the greatest motivator of all is a player sitting on the bench. Because you know what? They want to get in the game. And sometimes when they don't want to play by the rules, that's the greatest motivator, is to sit them down on the sideline. Why? Because their ants are getting on the game. You ain't got to yell. You ain't got to do all the other stuff, what have you. I said, just sit them down. They'll get the lesson. Just put them on the side. They'll get it. Why? Because they're going to get back in the game to prove themselves. All right, coach, I get it. I want to get back in. Let's get back in. We should be that. Lord, okay, I get it. I may have messed up on that. Forgive me. I repent of that, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord. That's what your word says in 1 John 1:9. And I'm going to walk according to your ways. Get me back in the game. Why? Because I want to continue to preach your word. I want to continue to demonstrate your word. Why? Because there's grace and mercy. That field. When you repent, it gets you right back on that field. It gets you right back on that court. I can't make everyone play in the boundaries that God has set for us. But I can preach the word, and it's up to you what you do with it. You're responsible for what you hear. I'm responsible for what I teach. So if you don't want to change, that's on you. If you do, get into the word. How am I going to make you change? Get into the word. Allow the word to transform your heart. If you really want to see something, I said, you know, I seen a meme on there. How many people you want change? Everybody is lined up. They want change. How many of you people want to change? Nobody's there. Everybody wants change, but they don't want to change. And sometimes we don't want to change. Lord, I want to change for him. When people try to change you, they're just changing you for them, for themselves, not for God. When the Lord is changing you, it's going to be for all those around you, for the people that he's called you to impact, to change, transform, renew your mind. But what if you're a person that don't like correction or rebuke? See, that's the biggest flaw that you can have in your life, is not being able to receive correction or rebuke. See, there are two kingdoms, two teams that you can play for, God's side or Satan's side. So which one do you truly want to play for? Just show of hands, how many of you want to be on God's side? See, it's 100%. And then there's Satan's side. Satan's side doesn't come with much. Toy sword. Your body armor is paper mache. Doesn't stop anything. Or how do you call it? Papier mache or something like that. Is that how this? Costanza. What is that? But see, when you put on the full armor of God, you have the helmet of salvation, you have the breastplate of righteousness, your waist is girded in the belt of truth, and you have the shoes, your feet are prepared in the gospel of peace, you got a shield of faith, and you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Did I say the helmet of salvation already? Yeah, see, no, no, but see, that's the thing. You have that when you're going into battle. But what the enemy gives you? Lies. Deception. So when you hit them with the word of God, it just cuts every single time. Stay on God's side. You're going to win. Every single battle that you face, you're going to win because it's already done for you. You enforce that. You live that out. Whatever you got going on in your life, you live that out. God has already done it. It's a done deal. It's not something you have to sit around and mess with and figure it out. Where you get frustrated, you start getting out of bounds. Stay in bounds. Keep those boundaries there. They're healthy there. They're there for you. Raise your children up that way. Have some healthy boundaries. It doesn't matter. Healthy boundaries. Luke 16:13 says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. Man. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. See, there's no gray area. Either you will hate one and love the other. So the question is, what are you willing to do for money? Nothing for me. To be on opposite of God's side? Nothing. Sell somebody out, betray them like Judas? No. Lie on them? No. What do you stand to gain if you carry out the enemy's plan? You can't serve two masters. You will love one or hate one. And believing that everybody wanted to be on God's side, you're serving him. That's a good thing. You're either going to love one or you're going to hate the other. And when you hate the other, you're going to start despising them. That doesn't mean, well, I don't have to work for money anymore. No, you work. Allow money to work for you. Don't work for free. Good night. That would be slavery. But you can volunteer. That's a, we don't want to go back to that. You know, I was reading one time. Actually, I was listening to the Bible. Sometimes I'll play it and read it. I didn't realize that they wanted to be enslaved. They spoke it out themselves. It wasn't something that God, well, they prophesied. No. They spoke it out. The Israelites, they wanted to be enslaved. And sometimes we don't realize what we're speaking out. Oh, this happened. Yeah. Check up on your tongue. So as you're rolling with Jesus, And you're believing that you're in bounds. And something comes your way, and an offense comes your way. And it hits you, and it hurts you. You're going to have to look down and check your armor. Because either you have that breastplate of righteousness or you have paper mache somewhere down the line. If it's hitting you and you're offended really, really quick, somewhere down the line you got out of bounds. You're rocking with that paper mache. Now all you have to do is repent. Put that real armor back on. Get yourself into that game. All right, let's go. Lord, forgive me for taking offense to that and what that person did. Get back in the game, because if you're easily offended, it becomes a problem. Satan can't touch you if you have on the full armor of God, because it keeps you from all the wiles of the devil. In Isaiah 38:16, it says, Lord, your discipline is good, for it leads to life and health. You restore my health and allow me to live. God's discipline is good. His word is good. It is a good thing. It leads to life and health. He restores my health and allows me to live. If the discipline ain't bringing life and health, it's not God's discipline. You're biting on something more than what you can chew or what have you. But it's not God's discipline. God's discipline, especially with the word, it'll correct you. It'll cut you. But at the same time, it will soothe you and heal you. Because he's for you. He's not against you. He's for you. If you just learn to let go. Let go. That's hard to do sometimes. I have a hard time doing it. Let go. Why? Because we want to get back. We want to get even. But if you just walk in what he's told you to do and the obedience of it, it'll be fine. People may not like it. That's okay. Let them dislike you all they want. But you're going to have to stay obedient to his word. Why? Because he's taking you from here to here. And when people want to keep you down, it's because they've already know in their minds that they could be better than you, could be better than them. Not that you know that, but they're playing on the wrong team. You trying to stop somebody from running? That's because you're on the sideline. All you have to do is repent and get back in that game. And you're going to start thriving the way he wants you to. The way he needs you to. The way people around you need you to. You're going to start thriving. Doesn't mean you're going to have any opposition. Always going to have opposition. Always. Somebody once said not to take off your armor. I said, but, you know, or to take your armor off every now and then or what have you. I said, but you're either in a storm, you're coming from a storm, or you're heading into one. So when do you take it off? Well, you can when you're in the presence of God. But when you leave the house, put it on. When you get into the presence of God and it's just you and him, take it off. Every wall, allow him to just crash it down, just bring it down. Lord, I'm yours. My heart is abandoned to you. But when you leave that home, suit up. Put your helmet of salvation on again. Your breastplate of righteousness. Get your shield of faith. Get the belt of truth. The gospel of peace. And the sword of the Spirit. Put it on. And then when you get back into the presence, take it off. Some of y'all don't wear your church clothes all day long, do you? We used to have church clothes and we had school clothes. Church shoes, school shoes. You can play outside with your church clothes and your church shoes. You take it off. What God requires is a contrite heart. A yielded heart to him. We can't show more devotion to people than we do him. If you can understand that God has set boundaries for the way the world is set up, you won't have a problem with it. It's just when people start trying to deny the boundaries are there. No one can live without the laws of sowing and reaping. Those are boundaries. Well, I'm never going to reap what I sow. You're deceived. You are deceived, and you're actually mocking God. I'm not going to reap what I sow. Why? Because I can just lie my way out of it. You're going to reap what you sow. Laws of gravity. Well, airplanes defy gravity. I said, yeah. Let them keep flying without fuel. See what happens. Mayday. Don't jump off your house. You're not going to be walking on air. It's going to happen every single time. You're going to hit the ground. We used to do that for fun. Just jump off the roof. We were so good children. I mean, we were so good and young. Our legs just spring back. And I told my wife, I was like, babe, I got on the scale. And I think the limit is 300. And that thing was borderline. And I said, it's your fault. And I was just messing with her. I said, you love me too much. You love me at this. She goes, well, I was big too, so you love me too. It's your fault. Oh, yeah, I can't throw that on you then. So I had to get out walking. Came to the church and started walking on my treadmill. Got one in my office. And then when I got here this morning, turned on the heat everywhere, and I get to my office, and I know I turned it off. I got in there, I said, what is that noise? And I see it going. I was like, you trying to tell me something? So I got on there and started walking before church. Get to the place to where you're so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that it's like, okay, I'm going here, but Lord is directing me here. Even out there in public. You might be out there to watch a game, but there could be a broken heart there somewhere. Be sensitive to what the Lord is telling you and what he's leading you to do. That may not be the popular thing, and you know what? Not everybody may see that, but he sees it. And those clouds of witnesses see it. So be sensitive to that. Yield to him. Stay in the game. Walk with those boundaries that are set for you. Why? Because he wants you to thrive. He said, I've come. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Satan comes to destroy. Religious leaders come to destroy. God wants you living a free life, but within those boundaries that he has set for you. And if you miss it, thank God for his grace. You tripped up on a sprinkler head. Thank God for his grace. Dust yourself off. Act like it didn't happen. Preach the word. Demonstrate it. Call those things that be not as though they were. And don't you back down. And you're going to get a lot of flack from that. And people are going to say, oh, that stuff is old. You can't do that anymore. The power of God has not stopped. It works every time. Stay in bounds. Stay in bounds. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about you, Jason. That was a good win yesterday.
Very good win.
Didn't see that coming. OU and Alabama. But the Lord just wanted me to tell you thank you. And that's just personal with me. Because you know what you said and done when I was in the hospital. Thank you. That's a good man. He says, we're going to get you out of here. Thank you. You got a good dad. We're going to get you out of there. You hear that? We're going to get you out of there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Long life, Richard. Will he satisfy you? Amen. Health. Strength. And your body. We speak it right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you. The Bible says that the memory of the righteous is blessed. Lord, we thank you for a good memory in his life, in his mind, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. We thank you for the life of Richard Wright. Thank you. Hallelujah. Strengthen your feet, Mr. Brown. We thank you. Hallelujah. Severe neck pain. We come against that back pain. You having back pain, severe back pain. We call that out in the name of Jesus. We command it to leave your body right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Heart problems. Command your hearts to be healed. Not just physically, but spiritually. Thank you, Jesus. Don't back down for what you believe in God for. The enemy will love nothing more than to say, this doesn't work anymore. He loves nothing more than to want you to think that it doesn't work anymore. Get you to stop praying, get you to stop believing. Dysfunction does not have to come from you because you have the functional one living in you. Hallelujah. Say what you need. Say what you want. And it's yours. Because you've been faithful. Thank you. Ma'am, what's your name? Lita, somebody get that. It's their phone. Lita. Can you come up? Ace, can you come up here? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Denise. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the lives that are here. And Father, if there's no one here that's never given their life to Jesus and you want to do that for the first time, just raise your hand and we'll pray with you. If you never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want to do that, just raise your hand. Lord, I thank you. Now, your word changes people. Your word has defined them. The world can't define them. You defined them already. You've called them yours. And all of creation is waiting for the manifestations for your sons and daughters, Lord. Father God, we just yield ourselves to you and the boundaries that you have set in our lives to run what you have started and to finish with boldness, with humility, and with your righteousness. We thank you for the impact that everyone here has in the people around them. Help them to be more sensitive to you and to do your will rather than their very own. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may stand. Before you leave, give somebody a high five. Be praying for the players, for the students, and for your families. Amen. God bless you. See you. No Wednesday service. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.